Father, we come to this moment in our service where we open your word and we consider a topic, an idea, a truth that you have planted there for us to grab a hold of, to consume, to live by. And so I pray that your word would sanctify us this morning, that your word would be the truth, that would be the tool of making us more like Christ. And so I ask your blessing on the reading of your word and the meditation of your word, the preaching of your word. Please fill me with your spirit and help your people to hear and respond to the spirit. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So for the month of December, if you've been here, you know, we've started this little series. We're calling it Gospel Gifts, and I know that it's kind of hard to see the EL. It's not just Gospel Gifts. It is Gospel Gifts. You'll have to trust me on that one. For God so loved the world that he gave. And so a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the very first gift that we released in this particular series, and that was the gift of salvation, that's right. And salvation is being rescued, to be saved from something. And so God offered that gift to the world. Whosoever would believe in Christ could receive that gift. That gift was for everyone. And many of you, I know, I haven't really taken attendance here this morning, know who all's here, but as far as I know, everyone that's in this room this morning has received that gift, has responded to that gift of salvation. Last week, we talked about another gift that God has given us as a result of the gospel, and I just mentioned it as I prayed, but that was the gift of sanctification. That's right, a big, long, churchy word that means it's the process of God making you holy. God making you holy, that you're set apart from the world and from sin and set apart to God, to holiness for his glory. It's a gift, and that gift is for believers. The third gift that I'd like to talk about today is, it's a challenging one, and it is a gift, I'm going to say it's a gift mostly for believers, but sometimes the Lord also gives it to unbelievers, to the unsaved. But it is a gift for believers, and it is the gift of healing. Now, I'm not talking about the spiritual gift of healing where I go and I pray for someone and I have that gift of healing and I can heal someone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the idea in general of God being a healer today, that he still heals people. And so, well, what does this word healing mean? If you had to add a description to it, a definition, what does it mean to heal something? To mend it, yes, to mend something that's torn or broken. What else might it mean? To fix something, yes, to fix something that's broken, to make something better that is not the way it's supposed to be, to bring healing to something. Any other ideas or suggestions on what you would say healing is? What's that? Yeah, to restore something. Those are all fantastic words. I simplified it. I'm just going to say to make healthy again. But it does mean restoration, fixing, making something that was broken better. That's what healing is. And I believe that God has given this gift of healing, of restoring, of fixing things. He has given it to his kids, to the church. When we talk about healing, though, there's a couple of different, categories of healing that we would consider. We would consider physical healing, right? So if I get a cut on my arm, I need that to be healed. And so I might put a Band-Aid on that or some other things, but I would pray that the Lord would heal that physical wound that is on my arm. I also might have it's not necessarily physical, but I might have an emotional wound, that someone would say something to me that would hurt me. And so I would pray and ask God to bring healing, that I wouldn't carry that burden, that wound wouldn't cause bitterness in me, but that wound would be healed. There's also, so those are like physical and emotional kinds of wounds, but there's also healing that comes, and this is the main one that the Bible talks about, healing that comes on a spiritual level. Our spiritual, because we had a problem. And if you've been saved, this has already been healed in your life. You had a spiritual problem. It was called sin. It separated you from God. It was going to the wages of that sin was going to cause death. And God rescued you from that. How did he do that? Well, it's one of our verses that we're going to focus on this morning. It's 1 Peter chapter 2. And so if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is talking to the church. He's written this letter to them. And he makes this fabulous statement of truth. 1 Peter 2:24, he's talking about Jesus. He says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. And then he makes this quote from Isaiah chapter 53. He says, by his wounds you have been healed. So he's quoting the prophet Isaiah from 700 or 800 years prior to this moment. And he's saying, by his wounds, by Christ's wounds, you have been healed. And when he's talking about this, he's talking about a spiritual healing. He's not talking about a physical healing here. Because he's talking earlier in the verse, he's saying that he bore his sins on the body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. Those are spiritual issues. And so the healing that he's referring to here is the greater healing of saving us from our sins. Healing our souls. This is a result of salvation, this healing that has come. So Jesus offered that, and he brought us that healing. But healing, in this sense, in the Bible, there, again, it's spiritual, but it's also physical and emotional. The good news of the gospel, this kingdom that we have received from God, it's not just spiritual healing. There's also an element that it is physical. The spiritual and the physical, they kind of intertwine at times, it seems. It's mysterious. It's not really something that we can draw a box around and really define well. But there's another verse in Matthew chapter 8 where Matthew is telling the story of Jesus. And he also quotes from Isaiah chapter 53, that famous chapter in the Old Testament that talks about the coming Messiah and what he will do. But Matthew tells us this, if I can get over there, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, it says, when evening came, many who were demon-possessed were brought to him, and he, Jesus, drove out the spirits with a word, and what else did he do? He healed all the sick. He healed all the sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. He took up our infirmities, and he bore our diseases. And we know from reading the rest of the Gospels that Jesus, when he came, he not only cared about someone's spiritual condition, but many times he often healed that person's physical condition. What did he do? He gave sight to the blind. He gave the ability to hear to the deaf. He made the lame walk. He brought the dead back to life. The gospel was not just a mental assent of that you are Lord, but it was also this revelation of that the kingdom is here and it brings healing, it brings health, it brings life. So the healing that God gives to his people, those in his kingdom, is spiritual and it's also physical and emotional, mental. And all throughout the scriptures that it points to God's restoring what is broken. Not only in a spiritual way, but also in a physical way. Now, lots of questions arise when we start talking about healing and what is God giving us? Well, I can tell you this, that while your salvation is sure in this life, healing of your physical body in this life is not guaranteed. We're not saying, and I'm not saying, that if you're saved, then you can never be sick again. Because that's just not true. Your reality bears that out. The fact that I'm wearing glasses and I've got this thing here and other things in my body that are, the scripture says that we are, day by day we're wasting away. And we could go down the list here in the room, and everybody's got something on their list of knee or shoulder or head or toes or eyes and ears and mouth and nose, something that's wrong with you. And so the reality is, even though you're saved, the Lord hasn't healed you physically yet, but that promise is coming. The promise is that there will be a day where you get a new body, and it will be awesome. And hopefully that, well, maybe hopefully, I was going to say hopefully that day is not today, but if you go to be with the Lord today, that would be awesome. So God doesn't promise us that you just have to have enough faith and then all of your sicknesses will go away. That's not true at all. What we're saying is that sometimes God's grace is on display in our lives, and he heals us. And it's a temporary healing. He raised Lazarus from the dead, but guess what? Lazarus died again. But sometimes God's grace is on display in our world through this idea of, or through this reality of healing. The scriptures give us information or instruction on how the church is supposed to handle this topic, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But in the meantime, I do need a volunteer again this morning, since this is our series and what we've been doing. So I need a volunteer. Is there a Ralphie here this morning? Ralphie? Is there any Ralphies? No Ralphies? Is there a Ken here this morning? Oh, there is a Ken here. Well, how about that? Well, Ken, come on up. Now, just so you know, I did pre-warn Ken about this because I didn't want him to have a heart attack on his way up here. So, come on up here. You can sit on this one here. Yep. And John, I'm going to give him this microphone. Maybe we should have switched stools because you're taller than I am anyway. But
I'll slouch.
All right. So this is a big month.
Yeah.
Big day on the 25th, right? So yeah. What time are you getting up on the 25th?
Probably around 10.
10?
Kids are gone.
Well, I have some kids I can send over if you'd like to get up around 5, because I would like to get up at 10, but probably not going to happen there. So, so this is a big month. Open the presents. Now, wouldn't it be great if there were presents under the tree here today?
Yeah.
For you to open.
Yeah.
Do you see any presents over there?
Yeah, you've done that.
I have. Do you
no,
see
I don't
any
see
presents?
Any presents.
I don't either, because they're not under there. I put them under here today, because
okay.
I was trying to switch things up. So let me get these, and then hopefully I can do this without burning anything. Oh, this one says to Ken. Imagine that. So I'm going to let you have that one. Here, I'll take your microphone for just a moment. Actually, if you want to start unwrapping, you can. I'm going to get this other one here. Uh-oh. Hopefully there's nothing breakable in there.
I didn't hear it rattle.
Let's see. I think the other side has some. There you go. Mine says to the church, so I'm going to open this for you guys. What do you got there?
A mug.
All right. Just what you need is another coffee mug, probably, huh? What have I got here? I've got...
Take heart.
Huh. I've got this. Maybe I pour this in there.
Good. If you
want. I'm just going to set this down here for a moment. We'll get to that in just a minute. So you've got a mug there. I think I have a picture of it for us. Let's see here. That way they can see what you've got. Now, I got you this mug because it tells a little bit of a story. And you, in case you didn't know what John 16:33 was there, I have it out there for you. So I'm just going to let you read it to us. What's John 16:33?
I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world.
Do you know who said that?
No. John?
Jesus did. Jesus did. Jesus said it.
Yeah.
I don't know if you all know some of Ken's story, but he's had a little bit of trouble in this world the last couple of months. And so so I was wondering if you could maybe tell a little bit of, I asked him not to share it during testimony time because I wanted him to share it during this. If you could just give a brief testimony of some of the trouble you've gone through these last couple of months and where you've seen the Lord at work.
Well, actually, it started about 6 years ago. I had a stent put in my heart. That was the first indication I wasn't all who I thought I was. But the last year and a half, I've been struggling with a thing called AFib. That's where your heart beats irregularly. And in my case, it was about 3 days a week. It would beat, my resting heart rate was normally around 50, but it would beat around 80 to 100 beats a minute for 4 to 8 hours at a time. Just really wore me out physically and mentally. It kind of drained me. And in the middle of all that going on, well, the doctors gave me pills and stuff to take, in the middle of that, Karen and I decided we would go and move. We changed houses. We sold our house and moved into another one. Well, in that process, the lending institution that we were going to, we knew this gal. We had gone to Bible studies with her, and when it came time to get the money, she wouldn't even answer her phone calls. It was, boom, gone. So we had to overcome that. And then I think it was July or August that the heart doctor told me, he says, well, Kenny, says, I think what we ought to do is go in and do an ablation. I said, well, what's an ablation? Well, an ablation is, now these are my words, not the doctor's words. He says, well, we're going to run a couple of wires up into your heart, and we're going to start as you're growing and run them up into your heart through your blood vessels. One's going to be in the left chamber where we need to do the work. The other one's going to come in the right chamber, but we need it in the left chamber. So we're just going to poke it through the wall that separates those two chambers, and then we're going to go in there and we're going to freeze different parts of your heart, and that's going to stop you from having this AFib, maybe. So I had from, let's say, August to November to think about that. And as it wore on and wore on, I got more and more irritable. Karen would say, good morning, and I'd say, oh, yeah. I wasn't having a good time at all. But then about 3 or 4 days before the surgery, they don't call it a surgery, it's a procedure. 3 or 4 days before the procedure, I kind of had a talking to myself because things were really bad. And that's when I realized that my spiritual heart, I let it down. And that was something I could take care of. So with that, I kind of changed my thinking into a total different direction. And instead of, oh, it's all about me, I started praying for many other people that I knew that had problems, and some of you are in here today. And once I did that, I felt so much better. It was a great feeling.
Amen. I'll take this from you for a moment. So I think it was on November. Was your procedure November 9th or November 8th? November 6th. So I met Ken and his family at the hospital on November 6th, went in, and before he was called back to get into the gown and the whole thing there, he told me that little story. And then I went in to pray with him a couple hours later, and right in the middle of my prayer for him, it dawned on me, and I realized this heart procedure was more about his spiritual heart condition rather than his physical heart condition. Because his physical heart, while I want it to live a long time, the reality is it's not going to live forever. This physical heart is going to conk out at some point. And he's going to get a new one. What's more important now is that his spiritual heart is healthy. And thankfully, the Lord was faithful. Ken was willing to confess. And the Lord brought health and healing to his spiritual heart. Now, is he perfect every day going forward? No, probably not. He probably still has bad days. He probably still gets a little cranky with his wife on occasion. But the fact that he was able to be aware of what was going on and give that over to the Lord was faithful in bringing healing to his heart. And so, this mug, I'm giving it to you as a gift, and hopefully it's a reminder of this story of what God has done for you. Now, I did check with Karen. She said that you like coffee, but you're not supposed to drink it. Probably because of your heart-related issues. So, here's what I'd like you to do if you decide not to drink coffee. I would like you to invite friends or family over and make them drink out of that cup and tell them the story of what God has done for you. Praise God for your life, buddy. God bless you. So there were two gifts that we opened. Ken got the coffee cup. I got the oil. If you recognize this, you might recognize it from our Christian Missionary Alliance logo. Doesn't make us more spiritual than anybody else. It just helps represent who we are and what we're about. And so the cross represents salvation. Jesus is our Savior. The laver on the right-hand side represents sanctification, that there's a daily cleansing of sin that we go through. The crown on the bottom, which might be coming up sometime soon, that represents Jesus as our coming King. And the thing on the right-hand side, on the left-hand side is a pitcher of oil. What does a pitcher of oil have to do with anything? Well, many of you know this, but it is representative of the pitcher of oil that's referred to throughout the scriptures, but most importantly in the book of James chapter 5. And so if you have a Bible, I'd encourage you to turn there to James chapter 5. Where it talks more about this healing that the church, this gift of healing to the church, and how the church is to administer this. James chapter 5, 14 through 16. It says, Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. A few things about this passage. The oil that they're referring there to there's nothing special about the oil. The oil throughout the scriptures is a symbol, a reminder of the Holy Spirit. And so when we pray for someone to be healed, it's a reminder that we're not doing the healing. Who's doing it? The Lord is, right? Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's a reminder of the presence of the Holy Spirit. In Bible times, they used oil. I mean, they didn't have a hospital, so they had doctor. Well, Luke was a doctor, and they would have had doctors, and they used oil as a type of medicine, and so it was seen in that way. The sick person is supposed to do what? Call the elders of the church. Which infers a couple of things. First of all, it infers that this person is a part of a local body, part of the church. It's so important that you're part of this community of believers because we're in this together. Your sickness is not just yours, it's ours. When you hurt, I hurt. We hurt. And so we call the elders of the church, not because the elders are special, but because that's the way God has designed it. They are the spiritual authorities, and of the local body, the sick person is supposed to contact the elders. Now, it doesn't always have to be that way, but it's initiated by the one who is sick. Because when they do that, guess what that expresses on their part? It expresses faith. That I believe what the scriptures say, I will call the elders of the church and ask them to come and pray for me. By faith. The elders come, they anoint with oil, they pray. And it says the Lord will raise them up. It's not about the particular individuals or the method or any of this. It's about that the Lord is going to bring the healing. And if they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other. When we anoint with oil, one of our practices is that we ask. Not give me the laundry list of sins that you've committed today. I don't want to know that. I want to know, is there anything that's habitual in your life that is in intentional rebellion against God? Because if there is, that's a barrier. And we want to get that out of the way. We want to confess it so that the Lord can be at work. So there's confession of sin that's involved. There's anointing with oil. There are these relationships within the church. God does the healing. It's not the personnel or the oil. I'd encourage you in this year to come that when you're sick or you have an issue that requires healing, reach out to your church. Yeah, we do the prayer. We do the prayer emails. Those are great. We pray for you on Wednesday nights. That's great. But the scriptures say, call the elders of the church. Have them come and pray with you. Pray over you. Pray for you. Don't say no for God by choosing some other method. I know many of us, it's a pride thing. We don't want to inconvenience people. We don't want people to know necessarily about it. Don't say no for God, because maybe, just maybe, God wants to bring healing to your particular situation through this particular method, because this is what his scriptures say. It doesn't say call the doctor, it says call the elders. Now, if you're bleeding, don't call me. Call a doctor, go to the ER, or whatever it is. I don't take the place of a doctor, that's for sure. But the Lord has designed it this way for a reason. And we want to be obedient to that as his church. Healing is available through the atonement, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a matter of praying so many times. It's not a matter of giving money or some sort of hype or that you need TV cameras or a TV evangelist. We don't need any of that. It's not a matter of that. It's a matter of being obedient to the Lord and asking him to do the healing. And if he heals us, praise God. If he doesn't, praise God. He's good either way. He's sovereign over all of this. Why does he heal some and not others? I don't know. The scriptures does not tell us. But it does declare that he is sovereign over all things, including your physical body. It's not against medicine. It's not against doctors. But prayer, anointing with oil, is a very important component in the healing process that God has designed for his church. And so we want to be faithful to do that as we bear one another's burdens. Again, this idea of our bodies, they're just temporary, and someday God is going to give us eternal ones. But I want to use my body as best I can for the glory of God in the days that he has numbered for me. And so while my body is wasting away day by day, the scripture says that my spirit is being renewed for the glory of God. One other passage I'd like you to see on this particular topic this morning, and we touched on it in Adult Sunday School. It's 1 John chapter 5, just a few pages to the right. 1 John chapter 5. John's writing to the church. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. And so we are to pray with confidence according to whose will? His will. My will is that I would have more hair on my head and that I would not have to use these glasses, that I wouldn't have these cavities, that I would never get cancer or break an arm. That's my will. But you know what? Maybe, just maybe, there's something more important in the process. Maybe there's a spiritual healing that God is trying to have happen in me, the process to take place, that for whatever reason, according to His sovereignty, He's going to allow me to go through these other trials, these other hardships, these other heart ablations, processes, procedures. He's the one that we trust. We don't trust in our own wisdom. His will is what we want to pray according to. And how do you know what His will is? Again, it comes back to being in the Word. You want to hear God speak about your situation? Open the book. Read it. Certainly, it takes discernment. It's part of the purpose and reason why we're together as the church, so that we can help each other understand what these scriptures have to say of what God is declaring to us. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked of Him. I praise God for those pre-installments of grace that He gives to us. Some of you have experienced miraculous healing. And yet the reality is that someday you will expire in this life. So they're just temporary installments of grace that He gives us now. But He still does. He still does those things. But there's nothing we can do to make it happen. We just be obedient. And we allow His sovereignty, we rest in His sovereignty when it comes to this issue of healing. I know there's so many of you in this room right now that have struggles with physical and emotional, mental issues. And I pray God's healing upon you. But again, please use the resource that the Lord has for you. He's given you elders. He's given us enough oil here. This will cover everybody. I actually won't use this oil because this is just... where did I get this? I don't know. It's oil from the grocery store, I think. So it doesn't have to be oil from Israel or anything special. Like, again, it's not about the oil. It's about the God who made the oil, who made you. He loves you. He sees your pain, and yet He's trying to get your attention, maybe, for His glory. With that, I'll end with this. I can get my clicker to work here. It's not just a fancy phrase, but it is true. To God be the glory. Great and awesome things He has done.